Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first passage this morning is from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We talked a lot about verse 8. There's a podcast, Judy's smiling, she's probably heard this, that they always say, oh, Micah, I love that verse. There's only one verse in the whole book of Micah that we know, pretty much. There's a little context to that. We won't be getting into that too much today, but listen for God's word for you from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. And what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Reading from the Gospels is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Listen for God's word for you. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Since this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Do you put bumper stickers on your vehicle, religious ones or otherwise? Bumper stickers are a way of expressing something to people who see your car, whether it's going down the road or sitting in a parking lot. I often notice bumper stickers. It can be interesting to see what someone found to be important enough to emblazon on their vehicle for the world to see. It seems to me that most people don't put any bumper stickers on their cars at all. Others put a small number like this car. Let me make that big on the one in the back, please. I like the one on the left. Do you follow Jesus this close? The one on the right is good too. Be the person your dog thinks you are. Those of us with dogs can likely relate to that one. Others put a few more stickers on their vehicle, like this van. This one also has a "Are You Following Jesus This Close" sticker, and another one I like, "Faith Without Works is Dead," from James 2:20. It gets a bit more extreme from there, though. "The road to hell is bumper to bumper, make a U-turn to God" is perhaps one of the tamer ones. "Don't expect a party in hell, it's canceled due to fire" is poignant, I suppose. There is, of course, the scripture written largely on the back window. I hope they can see out that window. My favorite, though, is right in the middle. I don't think you can see it there, but it says, "On Judgment Day, you'll wish your car had Jesus stickers." I must have missed the passage of scripture which indicates that Jesus stickers are related somehow to salvation. And then there's those who go all out, like this one, with hardly any place left for another sticker. There are many good ones on this vehicle. You can't read them from there, but I zoomed in. There are "Peace Be With You" is there, "Love One Another," "Keep the Faith." These are all there somewhere. And then there are some other ones I like. "God Wants Spiritual Fruits, Not Religious Nuts." And "Jesus Is Coming, Look Busy." Then there are some more conspiratorial ones like "Humpty Dumpty was pushed." Someone should look into that. What about this sticker? Hashtag blessed. If you aren't familiar with hashtags, they're a way of identifying a topic, starting with that symbol which used to be more commonly called a pound sign or a number sign. They're a shorthand way of getting across a message, in this case, that you feel blessed. If you haven't seen hashtag blessed on a vehicle, you've likely seen it on social media. I looked through my Facebook feed and found friends putting hashtag blessed when writing messages such as "thanks for birthday wishes," "loving the sunshine," "ringing in the new year with friends," "a teacher starting a new job," "a friend enrolling in seminary," "a new haircut," hashtag blessed, and my favorite, "the satisfaction of matching nail polish, coffee cup, and blanket with kitty cuddles," hashtag blessed. I'm glad my friends feel blessed. However, I wondered about those posts and that bumper sticker when reading Jesus' statement on blessings. We read them a bit ago, but you likely know them pretty well. Jesus calls the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the persecuted. He calls all of them blessed. I did not see anyone post in social media, "just lost my job due to prejudice," hashtag blessed. What is it that Jesus is saying about blessings? Should we only associate blessing with positive circumstances? Jesus says that blessedness comes from situations which are quite counter to our way of thinking, and that's part of the point. This author, former Bishop N.T. Wright, says, "Jesus is not suggesting that these are simply timeless truths about the way the world is, about human behavior. This is an upside-down world, or perhaps a right-way-up world, and Jesus is saying that with his work, it's starting to come true. This is an announcement, not a philosophical analysis of the world. It's about something that is starting to happen, not about a general truth of life. It is gospel, good news." Jesus announces blessings on those who wouldn't feel blessed by the world. And that is truly good news. And I think that God's blessing is on us in all things. I'm reminded of the traditional wedding vows, which include "for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health." In all of those situations, we are blessed. A new job, yes, you are blessed. Persecuted for righteousness' sake, yes, you too are blessed. We are blessed not so much in the everyday circumstances of our lives, whether better or worse. We are blessed because we are loved by a loving God. We are blessed because we are created in the image of a holy God. We are blessed because we belong in life and in death to a righteous God. The challenge is in seeing that we are blessed when we are reviled and persecuted, when we are poor in spirit or mourning. Sometimes it's hard to see our blessings when we are living lives of mercy or being peacemakers in a world which values retribution and violence. And perhaps that is why Jesus brings up our state of being blessed in precisely those circumstances. Nadia Bolz-Weber writes, "Maybe the Sermon on the Mount is all about Jesus' seemingly lavish blessing of the world all around him, especially that which society doesn't seem to have much time for. People in pain, people who work for peace instead of profit, people who exercise mercy instead of vengeance. So maybe Jesus is actually just blessing people, especially the people who never seem to receive blessings otherwise." We are blessed. We are blessed, not because of the possessions that we have, not because of the degrees we hold, the jobs we have, or the power that we wield. Earthly success is not the same thing as being blessed. The winners of the Super Bowl tonight will be no more blessed than their opponent. Those who drive home from here in a luxury car are no more blessed than those who walk home. Those who will arrive at a great job tomorrow are no more blessed than those who will wait in line at the unemployment office. Notice two of the most quoted biblical blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed by God's face shining upon us. We are blessed by God granting us grace and peace. And that peace can be found in the midst of a wide variety of circumstances. It is paradoxically true that our blessings can sometimes be easier to see when we feel we are stumbling in the dark. Laura Story wrote a beautiful song called Blessings. In it, she sings to God, "What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise?" Later in the song, she sings, "What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?" When we are blessed in the definition of the world around us, it is all too easy to lose sight of the true blessings of God. Author Vanitha Risner says, "Blessing is anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in him, anything that draws us closer to Jesus, anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and hold on more tightly to the eternal." And often it is the struggles and trials, the aching disappointments, and the unfulfilled longings that best enable us to do that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Yeah, we are. Because as Professor Stephen Westerholm puts it, the one whose word creates and shapes reality says so. The one whose word creates and shapes reality says that blessed are the peacemakers, not the warmongers. That one says, blessed are the pure in heart, not the ones whose motives are corrupt. That one says, blessed are the meek, not the arrogant. That one says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, not those who trample on the oppressed. Jesus pronounces these blessings on the meek, the impoverished, and the oppressed. But that's not all he does. He empowers the meek, cares for the poor, and defends and demands justice for the oppressed, and then sends us out to do the same. I read this in a blog post online. "My blessing is this. I know a God who gives hope to the hopeless. I know a God who loves the unlovable. I know a God who comforts the sorrowful. And I know a God who has planted the same power within me, within all of us." We are all blessed because Jesus said so. And through us, God is working justice and righteousness. Through us, God will work in this Black History Month to right wrongs, lift the oppressed, and build a more just society. God will use our efforts as we stand together against prejudice. God will use us to turn people back toward God. The prophet Micah writes of a time when people were turning away from God. It reminds them of God's gracious history with them. And they responded with sarcasm, wondering what God demands of them. They asked, what does it take to please this God? Will God be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Should they give their firstborn as a sacrifice to God? Even though God is rightfully angry with Israel, he has spoken to them as my people. And they respond with sarcasm, with no acceptance of their guilt. And Micah replies that God is not that interested in their sacrifices. Sacrifices in Old Testament times were not a way of appeasing God. They were a response to the grace of God. The people, however, want to know just what they have to sacrifice to make God happy. They receive no answer to their sarcastic questions, but instead receive the answer that they need. Micah responds with what God wants from God's people. And that response is simple and yet so very complex that it takes our whole lives on earth to figure it out and to live it out. Micah says we are called to a life of doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. Sounds like a pretty good bumper sticker to me. May we live into our calling as people blessed by God and blessed to be a blessing. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.